Welcome to the ministry of First Reformed Church of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Our worship services are at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Now we join Pastor Hank Bone as he brings us God's Word.
For our Bible reading, we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And we'll be reading the verses 28 through 38. As I've mentioned, or I should mention, this is Jesus on trial. And this is that section on the night of his trial where he is standing before Pilate, who represents the ruler, the governor of the government, the Roman government, who is over everything. And so while we often think of Israel and the Jews as being their own nation, at this point in history, they're not. Rome is the ruler. They're just a province of Rome. They're not their own nation. And that drives them crazy because they're God's people. They should be their own nation. But they're not. They're under the control, the government of Rome. So you might say this is the church in America. We're under the American government. At times it drives us crazy. But we are still the church and we think we should be independent, but we're not. So how do we reconcile those two things? And Jesus gives us some insight here as we go and work our way through these verses this morning. Our primary text will be verse 36, but we will look at the overall context. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, If Jesus were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." And then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, calling Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Beloved brothers and sisters, what is the most important thing about your life? If you take an evaluation, you say, "What is most important to me?" If you were to look at all of the things that you're involved in and you list them in order of importance, what would be at the top of the list? In Matthew 6:36, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus gave this instruction because he understands that we can be consumed with our future. But thinking about our future, with what's going to happen in my family, or what's going to happen with school this year, or am I going to make the team this year, or what's going to happen in the upcoming election. We can be consumed, particularly with fear about the future. In John 18:31, Jesus stands before Pilate, the Roman governor. Jesus is on trial. He knows he will be taken to the cross. He came into the world because what was the most important thing for Jesus was to hang on a cross for you. To die for your sins, so that you might belong to the kingdom of God. The context here is the king of the eternal kingdom. The king of kings stands before the earthly political official of the most powerful kingdom on the planet to answer Pilate's question. Jesus, are you a threat to my political power? To the world, politics rules the day. It is the most important thing to those in power who are consumed with this life. This is a showdown of two worlds, of two kingdoms. It was the great theologian Augustine who framed it in his classic work, The City of God and the City of Man. He said, you face the same reality of living in two worlds, two different contexts. We have our physical lives in this world, our families, work, school, and recreations. And then there's the church. And in what way and importance do you view each of these as an integral part of your life? Where do they fit in? As we consider these pressing matters, this event in Jesus' life, and the teaching by Jesus on the nature of the kingdom of God should play an important part in your thought process. Jesus declared to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. And that should become implanted in your mind. I belong to Jesus. I'm part of his kingdom. And his kingdom is not of this world. So while you are a citizen in the USA, if you are a Christian, your true citizenship is in the heavenly kingdom. The Bible states that you are a foreigner and a pilgrim in this world. You are passing through. As you consider who Jesus is in this passage, and you think about how that relates to you in your day-to-day life, you must understand that Jesus made clear that the kingdom of God is not of this world, and as such, calls the church to a spiritual purpose. Now let us consider three things about this passage. We'll note the charge, the country, and the caller challenge that is before us all. So first, the charge. Pilate looks at Jesus and he says, are you the king of the Jews? Now this exchange between Pilate and Jesus occurs when the mob of Pharisees and Sadducees had persuaded Pilate that Jesus was a political threat, a revolutionary who with his followers posed a great threat to society. Remember that Pilate, at the insistence of these religious mob, these religious leaders, had sent a massive force of guards, some say anywhere from 200 to 600 guards, to arrest Jesus. They came into the garden with torches and swords, and they were ready for a battle. They were expecting a battle. They were expecting riots and violence. But instead, the guards found a compliant Jesus and 11 followers. Tax collectors, fishermen. Not radicals and revolutionaries. So when Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? You need to hear a tone of mockery in his statement. They said you were this political, trying to raise up this revolution. Are you the king of the Jews? Really? Now keep in mind, that likewise in Pilate's mind, the Jews are insignificant. Why did I get stuck being governor of these Jews? They're just a problem. They're insignificant. Why did I get stuck out here? Why couldn't I have been at some great place like Corinth or something like that where things are really happening? You should see from this that Pilate sees Jesus as a harmless nobody. He's just another religious teacher that has no bearing on the importance of who Pilate is as the governor of Rome. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't answer Pilate directly. Rather, he responded with a question. He says, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Are you asking if I'm truly a king? Or are you just repeating what you've heard? Jesus is pressing Pilate about who he thinks Jesus is. And in a sense, Jesus presses all of us with this same question. Who do you think I am? It wasn't that much before this that Jesus had asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? So it's going around, everyone's talking about it. Even Pilate would have probably heard. So Jesus is asking Pilate, are you inquiring of your own or are you just repeating what you've heard? But it presses us. Who do you think that Jesus is? There isn't any greater question. To Pilate, Jesus is just an insignificant Jewish teacher. What is he to you? Pilate, do you see me as the king to whom you are accountable? Or are you dismissing me as below you and irrelevant as you see all Jews? But also see here that Jesus answered Pilate in the only way that would avoid Pilate misunderstanding Jesus. If Jesus had said, yes, I'm a king, Pilate would understand that politically and worldly, not in a spiritual reality of Jesus as the king and the creator. And then in verse 35, Pilate responded sarcastically, am I a Jew? You're questioning me, am I a Jew? What does that have to do with me? I don't really care about you and your Jewish squabbles. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? You see, to Pilate, this Jesus is irrelevant, just another religious zealot. So he says, am I a Jew? I'm not involved with your little petty squabbles. What do I care about your Jewish beliefs? They're irrelevant to me. They're nonsense. Pilate is a secular ruler, a politician, and a man of the world. He has no time for religion. Why should I care about this religious squabble between the Jews? Pilate is no different than those in our world who dismiss Christ and Christians as irrelevant today. Modernism, Marxism, and today's race theories all share the common belief that the Bible and Jesus are irrelevant. They live in the expectation that humanity will eventually outgrow and evolve away from the need for religion. After all, religion is just the opioid of the people. It is a crutch for the weak. But without Christ, all their truth is but opinions that have no basis in reality. The only true authority that matters is that truth that God has given to us. It is in this realm of ideas that the true divide between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God is best seen. So, in the charge that Pilate toys with against Jesus, we see the true disconnect between the two kingdoms. But you need to consider the nature of the kingdom of God to fully appreciate the challenge that is before you. And so we note, secondly, the country. The idea of country. In verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It is not from here. Jesus finally responds to Pilate, declaring that he is not just a king, but the king. But his kingdom is of a heavenly and eternal nature and wholly distinct from the kingdoms of this world. Jesus is the king of an otherworldly kingdom. While Pilate dismissed this King Jesus as irrelevant, the irony is that Jesus views Pilate and the Roman Empire as irrelevant. The kingdoms of this world are passing and temporary. They are contrary to the spiritual nature of the kingdom of heaven. And there we need to pause and think for a moment. How important do we see America and USA? Jesus was in Rome. He was in Israel. And they were irrelevant. Because what is relevant is the kingdom of heaven. The world dismisses the kingdom of heaven, but the citizens of the kingdom of heaven dismiss the kingdoms of this world. In this way, Jesus is reaffirming to Pilate that he is no threat to the governments of this world because the kingdom we belong to is a spiritual one and not of this world. This is where we need to pause for a moment and take a little stock of our patriotism. And I'm as patriotic as anybody. Love our country. I chant USA during the Hockey Olympics. For the most part, we would claim to love our country, and most people do love their countries. Ukrainians love their country. The Russians love their country. The Brits all believe they're superior. But America is somewhat unique. Because of its democratic nature and Christian foundation. Now, Western civilization, sort of the culmination of Western civilization, was at one time ruled by Christendom, which means it was most influenced by the church and the Christian Bible. But this has been under attack in Western civilization since the Enlightenment and the French Revolution. Today, the case can be made and is being made that civilization, that Christendom, has come to an end in America. That the church, by and large, is now viewed as irrelevant to a secular society. In the same way that Pilate viewed Jesus as irrelevant. The problem for the church is that we want to be politically relevant. Some people want the church to be the primary voice and the primary force in how America is governed. And it's not a bad thing when Christians are in office and when biblical principles are employed in the governing of society. I believe that the greatest society in the history of the world is the American society because it did seek to found itself upon biblical principles. It is not the calling of the church to become the government, though. The civil magistrate is one calling, and the church has a different calling based on the nature of who they are as institutions. It is the nature of the institution that shapes its purpose. And the nature of the church is a spiritual one, and the nature of governments and schools is more of an earthly one, a temporary one. That the nature of the church is spiritual and eternal makes it the most relevant institution for all of humanity. The church should be first and foremost for everyone, because its nature is eternal and spiritual, and its purpose is to reconnect us to our Creator. When you understand the nature of the country you belong to in terms of the kingdom of God, this must then become the foundation for understanding the what and why You are here as members of the body of Christ and his church. And so with a true understanding of the spiritual nature of the church, this then should lead you to ask the question, what is God calling me to do as a Christian, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, as a member of the body of Christ? What is he calling me to do? What is the challenge that this text brings before me? And Jesus gives us insight into what our call should be based on the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. When he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. This can be understood, this can be understood on a couple of levels. First is that for this reason, Jesus had come into the world to die on the cross for our salvation and the establishment of the presence of the kingdom of God in this world. There were several occasions when the disciples did resist the idea of Jesus going to the cross, and Jesus stopped them every time. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. But secondly, Jesus did not come to set up a kingdom alongside all of the others or like all of the other kingdoms of the world. The kingdom of God is over all of the other kingdoms because of its eternal and spiritual nature. Think about Peter in the garden. You know, before they'd arrested him, what happened? He came with all these guards, and Peter pulls out his sword and decides he's going to start trying to whack through all these Roman soldiers. And Jesus says, Peter, put your sword away. That's not how we do things. That's not what's needed. I'm not calling upon my disciples to fight. And that informs us as to how we view the whole situation, how we view politics. Many Christians think it is the end of the world if an election outcome goes in a way they disagree with. Many, many people in this country are feeling that way right now. And of course, the end of the world should not be viewed as that bad of a thing by Christians. We pray for the Lord to come quickly. So as the church, you should seek to promote biblical principles in how you vote and what you support. Political rule, however, is not the goal. Spiritual influence is. Because we are of a spiritual kingdom, what we should be concerned with most is holiness. You are to pursue godliness as the goal in your life and the source of your true joy. Because it draws you closer to God. It binds you to the heart of Christ. Recognize that as a Christian, you are already part of the kingdom of God. The nature of this kingdom is bound up with the truth permeating every aspect of who you are. Just as Jesus said in verse 37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Here is the challenge set before you. As one who hears the voice of Jesus, you are to then become the voice of Jesus to this world. Your calling is a spiritual calling in the carrying out of the mission, the great commission of the church, to take the gospel unto every nation. Finally, I want you to consider this point that Jesus made. Jesus did not come to deal with the political problems of his day. But he will come again at the end, according to Revelation 11:15, when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At that time, our Lord Jesus will set all things right. But we're not there yet. We are called to a spiritual mission that does have benefits in the here and now, but our calling is to call sinners to see that Jesus is relevant, the most relevant truth that confronts them. Do you want to change the world? Only the gospel can accomplish the change that is needed in society. And that is in, that is from the inside out in the hearts of us. If you want to change society, if you want to make it more civil, more peaceful, if you want to get rid of the hate, only the gospel can do that. That is through the preaching of the Word of God. We battle. We battle the difficulties, but we battle them with the Bible. And we battle them for the soul of the people. Because there alone is true peace ever to be found and ever to be secured. So may God give us that keen insight of the great privilege we have as being the kingdom, being people of the kingdom of God. And of the King, who is the King of all kings, even our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's rise for prayer. Praying as our Lord has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.